we present My Music. A musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreiber. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you. My gallant crew, good morning. As someone may well be saying later on in the show. Meanwhile, let me introduce our usual contestants, Ian Wallace with Dennis Norden, John Amis with his partner, Frank Muir. Ian, Mozart, how does that name grab you?
Oh, by the throat.
Yeah, good, so it should. Right, your question, what sort of an aria is this aria?
Yes, sung outside the off license.
Yes, rather bubbly.
Yes. It's the champagne aria from Don Giovanni.
Thank you very much. Yes, singer there being Eberhard Victor. Dennis, for you too, some Mozartian identification.
Yeah.
All right.
This
piece by Mozart has something in common with a composition by Leroy Anderson.
I've never got it until they started on those sleigh bells.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, Leroy Anderson wrote a tune called Sleigh Ride.
And so did Mozart. And that was it.
Didn't they?
Yes. Sleigh Ride. You didn't know that, did you?
No.
No. Well, you see, learn something new every day.
Well, I learn everything new as regards to Mozart. ABC stage. Yeah.
From Carrion there with the Berlin Phil and Mozart's Sleigh Ride. Right. John Amis, a key, please, plus two numbers for this. Key
G minor
and one number
40.
And the other number?
550.
Yeah. Thank you very much. That's the economical way to get marks.
Phone numbers, are they? Really?
Symphony number 40 in G minor, K550. Barenboim there with the English Chamber Orchestra. 2 marks for John Amis. Frank, here's a magnificent horn player by name Barry Tuckwell. Frank, horn players tend to conceal their right hands out of sight in the bell of their instruments. Why is that?
Well, they can't get their foot in.
That is undeniably true.
I mean, it is roughly, physiologically speaking, that or nothing.
That's true, yes.
Yes.
How right you are. Yes. I have to give you the marks, don't I?
It gives the... I would have thought, surely, it gives the tone. It's the...
Yes. Noise, that's right, yes.
Like a mute.
I think you knew what the piece was, wouldn't you? Didn't you?
It's the horn concerto.
One of, yes. Number four, the rondo, as you were about to add. That's right.
I was indeed, yeah.
And it's the one Mike Flanders put those wonderful words
that's
to.
That's right, it was indeed. Yes. A literary man of an earlier generation, a sort of Frank Muir of his day, once wrote, "If music be the food of love, play on, give me excess of it," and so on. Certainly music and food seem to be closely related in people's minds, especially in the minds of musicians themselves, who like to eat 3 times a day when possible. So it's a question about food, or a round of questions about food. Ian, I quote, the eggs and the ham and the strawberry jam, the rollicking bun and the gay Sally Lunn. Where will you find that banquet?
That's one of those things that's lovely to sing because generally it's either before the interval when maybe you're going to have something like that or at the end.
Yes.
It's from The Sorcerer.
That's right.
Gilbert and Sullivan, that marvellous opera where they put a love potion in a huge pot of tea at the sort of church outing.
Yes. The song comes from Now to the Banquet We Press, from The Sorcerer, and Ian gets a mark, of course. Dennis, again, I quote, "They're treating me all right, but they can't cook like you. What are the two dishes that young soldier misses most?"
Ma, I miss your apple pie
as well.
Ma, I miss your stew.
Half a mark for each, apple pie and stew, yes. John, I know that you, like me, are a man who enjoys wine. Can you name two of the wines that Simon the Cellarer had in his store?
No, I can't.
Old Simon the Cellarer keeps a large store of... You've no idea, have you? I think Malmsey? We must get Ian to tell you. Ian.
Malmsey and... He said Malmsey.
Malmsey, yes.
And
right.
Malvoisie.
Malvoisie, yes.
Of
and
Cyprus,
yes.
And who can say how many more?
Yeah, well, Sac and Canary are also
never
mentioned.
Never does fail.
Yes. Would you like to give your opponent the mark?
With pleasure.
Right.
What a nice...
it's got the score all shot to pieces. Frank, subject is still eating or drinking... The elderly lady who consumed a fly, what was it that finally put paid to her? Do you remember?
Burl Ives.
You can say that again.
Yeah. She swallowed Burl Ives as her second course. And she's dead.
Yes.
Of a horse.
Oh, that's right. She swallowed a horse, she's dead, of course. Yes.
I always remember an audience with Burl Ives, and he was singing a song, and they were singing the lines after him. And he was singing something about eating goober peas. And the audience was singing, "Eating goober peas."
Yeah. The names by which we know certain musical celebrities are not necessarily the names they were born with, or, to be more precise, received just after they were born. Irving Berlin was originally Israel Balin, the baby who answered to the name of Francesca Mitzi Marlene de Schani von Gerber became just plain Mitzi Gaynor. Let's see how you are on identifying people's real names. Ian, who did Julia Elizabeth Wells become?
Julia
Elizabeth Wells.
This is where I look to my friend.
I don't know.
Sadler's.
No, she didn't marry Sadler.
I think that would be helpful. Is it in your area? Is it in uproar or jazz?
No, it's more, it's somewhere halfway between you, I would say, in a sense.
No?
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll play you just a little bit of her singing. Here she is.
High on a hill was a lonely goat herd, lay, od lay, od lay, ooh, ooh. Loud was the voice of the lonely goat herd, lay, od lay, od lay.
So, Ian, it's...
Julie Andrews, and there was the most marvellous unanimous nod from the whole audience.
Yeah. Just with the bomb.
Whether that was because they knew who it was when they heard the lonely goat herd, or whether they were all saying, "That's who I thought it was."
It was just the...
Yes, they did. They nodded before she came in.
Yeah. Well, now I have to ask John, would you like to give your opponent a mark for that, do you think? Because he didn't get it, so he'd heard
we're
the
not very good at giving things away, but I suppose on this occasion we might say yes.
Right.
Mark, lend?
Mark to Ian. You'll lend him a mark, yes. Dennis, again, somebody who changed their names. Who was, or who? What did she become? Jean Shufflebottom.
Arthur Shufflebottom.
He couldn't stand the name Jean,
no,
could he?
No. Jean Sablon.
No? What a lovely thought. Jean Shufflebottom.
Yeah.
Lovely thought. Well...
Why does my heart go boom?
Yeah.
I will... Well, I'll do the same. I'll play you a little of her voice. Here it is.
In Blackamoor, where we come from, there's an old legend. You'll never grow old, and you'll never grow poor, if you look to the rainbow beyond the next moon.
Any idea, Dennis?
Gene
Shufflebottom became...
It's a deep voice, isn't it? Jeannie Carson.
Jeannie Carson is right. John Amis, who was Edward Israel Iskovitz? And I'll give you a most marvellous chance of a mark, because this was his voice, his speaking voice.
Well, folks, they got me in the market just as they got everybody else. In fact, they're not calling it the stock market any longer. It's called the stuck market. Everyone is stuck. Well, except my uncle. He got a good break. He died in September. Poor fellow had diabetes at 45. That's nothing. I had Chrysler at 110.
A very funny black joke, I think, you know. Who was he, John?
Look what you've done. Yes. What did you want to make those eyes for?
Yes. And the name?
Edward Cantor.
Eddie Cantor. Yes. Edward Israel Iskovitz became Eddie Cantor. Yes, that's your mark. Frank, I don't have a recorded example, but a violinist named Charles Olden changed his name to, would you believe it, Hugh Neek. He then changed his name again to what?
Very Ted familiar Ray. Name.
Ted Ray, yes, Ted Ray it is. Ian, cast your mind back to May 1878.
You there?
Yeah, I'm
right.
I remember it well.
Good. That was when the musical world first heard this overture. You got it, Ian? Never mind.
I was very young then, Steve. I wasn't taken to the theatre in those days.
Well, never mind, I'll give you a little more. Here it is. That brightened you up considerably.
Oh, yes,
didn't
that
it?
Brightened me up a great deal.
Ian, there was something rather odd about Sullivan's overtures. What was it?
Odd in the... Do you mean that he's... not supposed to have written them.
Mm, yes, that's right.
All of them being so intent on writing the operas that he sort of suddenly, the day of the thing almost would arrive and they would say, where's the overture? And he'd say, the overture? Oh.
Yes,
and
right.
Some amanuensis often just strung a few of the tunes
or
together.
Or even hack, yes. Some
but that does not apply to Iolanthe or Yeoman of the Guard, which are marvellous overtures.
Good point. We tend to think of overtures as being great Wagnerian epics, don't we? But in fact, they're just stringing together, as you said, some tunes from the show. Hamilton Clark did the overture to the Mikado. Alfred Sellier, I'm told, was responsible for The Sorcerer. And each of them collaborated severally with Sullivan on Pinafore and the Pirates. But as you rightly say, some of them were pure Sullivan work. Mark to you. Dennis, here's the captain of the Pinafore.
Me gallant crew, good morning.
Sir, good morning.
I hope you're all quite well.
Quite well. And you, sir?
I am in reasonable health and happy to meet you all once more.
You'll do us proud, sir.
I think that's a splendid, ironical idea. Dennis, how often was the captain seasick?
this one is it's, has to be answered in musical terms.
Well, in verbal, yes. The words are aligned.
No. Oh, I don't know. Every little while, no? Every night about this time. No.
I know
Ian's writing.
Yes,
that's simply why I'm
gabbing.
Never dash well... Next line, hardly ever.
Yes, never, never, well, hardly ever. Yes, well, your side wins the point. That was John Cameron performing the part of the captain there, Mark, to you. Or to your side, anyway. John, here's the First Lord.
When I was a lad, I served a term as office boy to when the term is firm. I cleaned the windows and I swept the floor and I polished up the handle of the big front door. I polished up that handle so carefully that now I am the ruler of the Queen's Navy.
I polished up that handle so carefully that now I am the ruler of the Queen's Navy.
George Baker there. John, can you give me the First Lord's full name, rank, style, or title?
No.
Well, you can... you can try, can't you, surely?
Joseph.
Well, we'll try collectively.
Yes, try Joseph. Collectively. Yes, Joseph.
Joseph, and he was...
Give him a knighthood.
Sir Joseph.
That's right. Put him in the Privy Council.
Sir Joseph, aye.
Well, I don't know if he was, but I'm trying to give you a clue.
The Right Honourable.
The Right Honourable Sir Joseph. Joseph. Oh,
Porter.
Porter. What's a clue for KCB? Anybody in the audience help me?
KCB.
Yeah, thank you. Well, a mark. It's that sort of show.
Alone I did it.
Absolutely right, John. The Right Honourable Sir Joseph Porter, KCB. Good.
I think our mark's alone, too.
Yeah. Frank, your turn. Towards the end of HMS Pinafore, joy is unconfined. I'm always glad to hear that about joy. Anyway, here's joy being unconfined.
Ring the merry bells on board ship. The union with his lordship. Ring the Santiago bell. For the man who wants for love. Ring the Santiago bell.
Ends happily. Frank, this is to do with plot. What was Little Buttercup's dark secret?
Her real name was Daisy. Daisy Shufflebottom.
Daisy Shufflebottom.
No, it was William Schwenk's plot was super new Greek comedy. Where at the last moment, the baby, which was exposed on the hillside, turns out to be the rightful heir to the... And therefore everybody, and she sings this little song in which she says she's a baby farmer, and she swapped the captain and Ralph. And so they marry the ones they want to.
Our hero is well born after all, yes.
And Joseph KCB marries his friend. There's a treble wedding off.
Just glancing at the score, it is, as you might imagine, after all this score cooking, a tie at the moment between the two sides. But there's hope yet for some sort of a decision as we move on to the next round. Here are some names, three or four names together. What is or was their particular contribution to music? Ian Wallace. Spaeth, Scholes, Barlow and Morgenstern.
I don't know what Barlow and Morgenstern or Spate, unless they all did the same thing, but yes. Scholes was the editor of the Oxford Companion to Music.
Well, they weren't all, but can you think of a word that suggests people who write dictionaries?
Spate wrote History of American sort of dance music.
That's right. Yes, you got it. Music.
I thought he wrote Till Death Us Do Part.
Johann Sebastian Spaeth.
No, musical lexicographers, you might say. Spaeth wrote The History of Popular Music in America, Scholes, The Oxford Companion to Music, and Barlow and Morgenstern wrote a marvellous dictionary of musical themes and a dictionary of vocal themes. So they all wrote reference works on music, you might say.
How do you say that?
Lexicographers.
Yes.
Dictionary men.
Dennis, again, what have these in common, or had they in common? Jack Dupre, Jack Doyle, and Joe Frazier.
Musically?
Yes.
Well, I only know a contribution that one of them made, which is Jack Doyle.
Yes.
Who was known as the singing boxer.
Indeed, yes.
And he used to tour with his film star, his glamorous Mexican film star wife, Movita.
Yeah.
And I remember that His singing was as erratic as his punching, and somebody said he shouldn't have sung Mother McCree, he should have fought her.
Well, yeah. Joe Frazier, of course, also sang.
He went
on a fairly disastrous tour as a singer, actually. Mm. And Champion Jack Dupre, of course, a very fine pianist, blues singer and pianist. Mm. I once interviewed Champion Jack Dupre. I saw in a press handout that he said that he'd won all his fights. And I asked him on this television programme, is it true that you won all your fights? And he said, no. He said, if I had, I'd still have been a boxer, wouldn't I? It's true. John Amis, what connection with music have the letters BMI, ASCAB and PRS.
They're all firms that collect copyright.
Yes.
For composers.
Music, royalty, collecting, and I may add, distributing organisations too.
Yes, it's nice too, the last bit.
Handing them out as well as getting them in. Yes, that's right. BMI, ASCAP, and the British firm PRS. Mark, to you. Frank, what have these three in common? Little Jack Little, Skinny Ennis, and Shorty Rogers.
Skinny Ennis, in my youth, was a band leader. Huh. Did he have to fight Mother McCree or anything?
He would have lost as well. Yes. And how about Shorty Rogers?
Well, presumably they're all.
Yes, all American band leaders, actually, yes. Shorty Rogers, a particularly good one, actually. Anyway, everybody's got a mark there. In the last round, faraway places with strange-sounding names. So ran the old song. And all the vocal offerings that end the show today are to do with places, three of them actually named. Dennis, you first. According to your claim, you are a bell-ringing father from a small place in Texas, and I ought to see you do your stuff.
Ah.
You got that?
Yeah. I'm not sure of the tune because... I'm never sure of the tune. I mean,
well timed.
I had a record of Louis Armstrong singing this where he says in the middle of it, and I done forgot the words, and I think he done forgot the tune as well. I'm a ding dong. Something, it goes something like, and you have to have the right beat for it and the right atmosphere. Yeah. Which, I'm a ding. Oh, no.
Well, you asked for it, didn't you? Well,
it was good evening, hello, we've come to see the show. You know, that was no. I'm a ding dong daddy from Dumas, and you ought to see me do my stuff.
Yes, that's right. That's right. I'm a ding dong daddy from Dumas. Yes, John. Very different. Let's hope from you, please. The air that we associate with Miss J. Ross of Newtown, Limavady, in the beautiful county of Derry. Frank, back in London, your song is an invitation to form a party and go along the street that leads from Trafalgar Square towards Fleet Street. Well, I don't know, maybe in the opposite direction.
Dee, 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 dum, dee, dee. Let's all go down the Strand. I'll be leader, you can walk behind. Follow me, lads, we'll see what we can find. Let's all go down the Strand. Oh, what a happy band. We'll go where there's fun and noise, all among the girls and boys. Fall in and follow me.
Right. Ian, the place, an unnamed glen beyond the Clyde, the time, eventide, and the key D major.
At hush of eventide, o'er the hills beyond the Clyde, I go roaming to my heaven, down in the glen. Though humble it may be, there an angel waits for me in that lonely little heaven, down in the glen. Across the moonlit heather, my lassie calls as I roam. 'Tis soon we shall be meeting in that heaven we call home. The sheep are in the fold, there's a peace worth more than gold for the shepherd in that heaven.
That's all, I'm afraid, for this week, and as you may have expected, it's a tie. Goodbye.
Taking part in my music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Tony Schreiber.